service preached from the pulpit of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas. Seeking to be faithful witnesses to the one faith once for all delivered to the saints, these homilies are designed to bring forward the faith of the undivided church into our own day, to shape our thinking, to form the pattern of our lives so that we may learn to take up our cross and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. Please be seated. In the epistle lesson for this Maundy Thursday, we hear St. Paul setting in order the apostolic teaching regarding the sacrament of Holy Communion. He says, "I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you." He is very careful to make sure that we understand that this sacrament of the altar is not the fruit of any one man's devising, nor is he saying that there are other valid ways of understanding the Holy Communion. He, in his apostolic office, is not creating new doctrines. He is simply passing on that which he received from the Lord himself. But in our epistle, he is reminding these Corinthian Christians of something that they have clearly forgotten. The Holy Communion, the Eucharist, even in these very early days of the church, had already been subjected to abuse, and that which was intended by God to be the building up of the body of Christ was now being used as a means to divide and to hurt one another. "In this that I declare unto you," says the apostle, "I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." And even though what is happening in the church at Corinth is clearly disappointing to Paul, Paul who planted this church and sought to form it and to present it to Christ as a pure and spotless bride, he is very hurt and he is disappointed. But he is not at all surprised, for it is not surprising that the attack of Satan should be launched against the sacrament of the altar, for there is no place in this entire existence in which the faith of the church is presented more clearly. For at the altar, the whole Christian story is retold each time we gather to celebrate the Holy Communion. At the altar, the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ on the altar of the cross is made present to us. And at the very same time, the great hope of our redemption, the marriage supper of the Lamb, this marriage supper that will mark the consummation of all time and history, this is present too in the mystery of the altar. In the Holy Communion, we see the gospel preached. We hear the love of God made plain. The Father, we see him sending the Son to be the Savior of the world. We see the Son willingly offering himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we see the Spirit hovering over the bread and wine, filling these creatures of bread and wine to the full with the very presence of God, so that in the eating of bread, we become partakers of the body of Christ, and in drinking the wine, we become heirs of the New Testament in his blood. In this love of the Blessed Trinity that we see manifest at the altar, we are being taught how to love as we have been loved, how to give as we have been given, how to forgive as we have been forgiven. The evil one, our great enemy, knows the importance of this sacramental meal. He knows it better than any of us do. For since the inception of the church, he has done his worst to pervert it. He has, and as we look at our epistle, he's had some success in Corinth. For in Corinth, instead of the communion being a celebration of the love of God, it has become an occasion for the display of selfishness and pride. "When ye come together, therefore, into one place," this is not the Lord's supper. "For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunken." To put it in other words, whatever it is that the Corinthians think they're doing as they gather around the altar, it's not the Holy Communion. Because they're all jockeying for position. They're in competition with one another. And we watch as some gorge themselves while others are denied the sacrament of body and blood. So the apostle reaffirms that which has been from the beginning, that which we saw on Monday night in St. Mark's Gospel and what we saw last night in St. Luke's Gospel, the institution narrative from which St. Paul quotes tonight, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." But that's not what the Corinthians are showing forth. They're behaving in a way that presents the opposite message. They who are supposed to be the visible presence of the body of Christ are bearing false witness against Christ, for they are living according to the ways of sin and death. They are living out those very things for which Christ died. They claim to be participants in the love of God, yet they would not love. They claim to be forgiven by Christ, yet they would not forgive. They make a mockery of the gospel. But this isn't limited to those days and to that place. We too can go the same way and make a mockery of the altar, a mockery of the cross, a mockery of the gospel, if we do not learn to love as Christ loved us. To warn us and to show us a better way, our Lord, through his body, the church, has given to us this night, this Maundy Thursday, which we celebrate now. Now, this title, Maundy, this comes from the saying of our Lord in John chapter 13, a little later on in this very chapter from which our gospel lesson comes. It comes from verse 34, where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Now, this word Maundy comes from the Latin rendering of these words. A new commandment, a new mandate, I give unto you. But our Lord doesn't leave it to our imagination to figure out what this new mandate means or what it looks like to love. He says, "As I have loved you, ye also love one another." In referring to this love with which he loves us, he refers to the whole of the work of his incarnation, and more directly, what is about to happen over these next 3 days. But even more precisely, it looks back to what we read, the account that we read of in our gospel, as we see St. John recounting the events of our Lord leading his disciples in this last celebration of the Passover, this Passover to end all Passovers. Now, before the peace of the Passover, our lesson began, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, I don't know if you caught something. It's when Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, it is here when he knows with full assurance that he is heir of the world, that he is the beloved and only begotten Son of the Father, and that in his ascension, which is now promised, he would go to the right hand of his Father. It's when he knows this that he takes off his outer garments. It's when he knows and he remembers and understands all things that are coming together in his work. It's then that he girds himself with a towel. Do you remember what we heard from Mark and Luke about what the disciples were talking about around the table on this night? Do you remember what it was that they were talking about? They were actually arguing. They were arguing about which one of them would be greatest in the kingdom. They were arguing about who would be greatest in the kingdom that their Lord was bringing. Yet their Lord, even as they are bickering amongst themselves, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, takes the role of the lowest of the household slaves, and he washes the disciples' feet. Some of this gets lost in translation, but we have to understand just how shocking of an act this is. Now, the fact that someone would wash their feet was very normal in that day. Every householder who was holding any party worth celebrating would go out of his way to ensure that everyone who would come into his house would have their feet washed. But it was a dirty, nasty job that only the servant of the very lowest rank would ever be asked to perform. Yet Jesus willingly does this lowly task. You have to be able to see as we go through our lesson the scandalized and shocked faces of the 12 as they see their master behaving like the lowest of the low. And after he washes their feet, he puts on his garments once again and he sits down. But in the air, there's still a puzzled shock. Jesus then asked the disciples, "Know ye what I have done for you?" In other words, do you know what this means? And he tells them, and he tells us, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, in a day and a place in which foot washing is not in any way customary, that's our own day, I don't think that Jesus is making a command telling us that we should be washing one another's feet. Now, if this is what some do, and there are many who do it, there is nothing to be condemned and much to be praised in this. But I want to make sure that we understand that our Lord is not calling us to introduce an irregular practice, something that is never imagined, some sort of a thing that we never see, to prove the love that we have for God and neighbor. Because the serving of love is not accomplished in the irregular appointments. It is accomplished in the serving of one another in the ordinary things of life, in loving one another in the everyday things, of the submitting to one another in the little things, of giving up your right in what seem the most insignificant of ways. And the mandate of this Maundy Thursday is to love one another as Christ has loved us, and to give ourselves for each other just as Christ has given himself for us. And there is no more powerful example of this reality than in the sacrament of the altar in the Holy Communion, for there we find God of God and light of light giving himself as food and drink for the hungry and the thirsty. You that have come tonight, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, come and eat. Come and drink of Christ, for in him is the love of God made manifest. But there's yet a little more. For tonight we will see the altar stripped bare. And this very altar upon which we find the feast of our life becomes the tomb, for Christ gives his life because he loves. Christ gives his life so we may live. So let us behold with profound wonder this great mystery. Let us behold and see the glory in this Christ who loves us even to the point of death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. For listening to Homilies from Holy Cross. If you would like to know more about Holy Cross, you can check us out online at holycrossalpine.org, and you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Homilies from Holy Cross is a production of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas.